Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. Train, serving as the co-host of The Madden Voice, Season 5, Episode 21. Still waiting on my partners in crime to show up. We have a shorter show tonight, about an hour and a half. And he is the man himself.
Are we on the air?
Miss T. Yes, we are
sir.
On the air.
We are on the air. All right. The Madden Voice, Season 5, Episode 21. An episode, you know, I'm remiss that we did not have, and you got to find on the switchboard, man, find like crowd noise, applause or something. But we are at Episode 104, so I missed our 100th episode celebration. So,
what, really?
Yeah, so we're at Episode 104 of the Madden Voice. So give me some fanfare or something back there. Give me some applause.
Let me. Here it is.
Holy cow!
There we go. All right. So what I'm going to do, because I changed the format of how we were tracking shows and I went into seasons and episodes instead of just show 81, show 82, so that's why it slipped by me. So I think what I'm going to do to celebrate maybe by show 110 is we'll do a best of the Madden Voice to kind of celebrate 5 years on the air. Maybe we'll do it right about the end of season 5, the best of the Madden Voice. I'll go through some of our more popular shows, pull some clips out and play them, and, you know, even see if I can get some of the old crew to just call in and say some, you know, words about the show or about, you know, the EASL or something. So, you know, in the next month or two, sometime between February and March, we'll do something like that. So, so plan on that. So do we have, is Mr. K-Star on with us?
You know we got him on. You know we got Mr. K-Star.
Yeah. I'm here. Good.
All right, excellent. Well, you know, I'm on the road. I'm driving. I did get out of my meeting a little earlier than I thought, but I'm still not home. So Train will man the switchboard and the agenda. And pretty much Train's going to host, you know, the show tonight. So Train, I know I can kind of already know the first topic. I'll kind of run with the first one and then ask you to go from there. But you know, we did over the weekend have the passing of Joe Paterno, and I think being that we are a football show, we would be remiss to not acknowledge the passing of Joe Paterno, you know, a man who, you know, ran a program that, you know, literally had hundreds of NFL players, you know, going, you know, come through Penn State and going to the NFL. And, you know, just my quick thoughts on it. I'm saddened by the whole thing, to be honest with you. You know, the man has a legacy that will never, ever be duplicated. It just, you're not going to have a guy, you know, 60 years in a program ever again. It's just not going to happen. And the fact that it is pretty clear what has gone on in the last 90 days with the whole scandal, and, you know, it is interesting that you had his firing and all of the stuff that went on, and then shortly after that, you know, the whole lung cancer thing and treatment, and then next thing you know, he's in serious condition and he passes. And when you listen to the people talking, you know, he died of a broken heart. You know, you took away the thing that he loved the most. You took it away from him, and he had nothing left to live for. These aren't my words. These are words of people that we heard on the air. And it's sad because I think that he deserves better than that. I believe he deserves to be fired. I do believe he handled the whole thing incorrectly. But do think he deserved to not go out and to end up passing away with a cloud over him. I wish there was none. Maybe in time it'll get better. I do wish that he, and I hope that he rests in peace, and that at some day that the cloud will clear up, and you know, we can truly respect the legacy that stands up. Because I do feel that. That said, I don't know. K-Star, you have any comments?
Not too much, really. It's just, you know, sad about Joe Pa passing. And it's somewhat ironic that it happened really almost 10 weeks after the whole relieved, you know, him being relieved of his duties from Penn State. The man lived and breathed football. He was a great coach, a great man, and honestly, people make mistakes. But we're not here really to discuss that. But it's just kind of sad, you know. Again, he literally was just relieved of his duties 10 weeks ago, and it's almost as if he really literally lived for football because he's no longer with us. And it's just sad, and, you know, I wish his family the best, and hopefully that whirlwind of clouds and all that stuff does eventually pass, but may he rest in peace regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. Train, any additional thoughts?
Well, you know, first off, you know, prayers go up to, you know, his family and friends at this tough time, and it really is a sad situation. I mean, we all have to go sometime, but you just hope that he's remembered for all that he did do for Penn State and for football, because before this whole scandal, you know, no one knew, you know, that he was only recognized for what he did, you know, on the football field and off the football field with that university. And I spent a few summers up there, man, and I know, you know, I've seen the library that they named out. That library is huge. So I've seen, you know, what some of the things that he's actually done for the school. And I just hope he's remembered for that and for, you know, at the time he may have thought that he had done enough when he received news. You know, he may have thought that he'd done enough just reporting it to the higher-ups. But, you know, even still, you just hope the man is remembered for the good things that he's done and just not that one mistake, you know, because he honestly and truthfully thought he did enough at the time. It's easy to look at everything in hindsight, you know, hindsight of 2020, but at that time when it happened, he really thought he had done enough in handling that particular situation with Sandusky. So hopefully he gets remembered for all the things that he's done for that university, for football, for the football program, and just for college football all around.
Yeah, agreed. All right, what do we got next on the agenda?
Jim Caldwell, man. Darn it.
Well, you know, I think, I think we should add to that the latest in the Peyton Manning news because, you know, it is, you know, we've seen this whole thing with the Colts just get completely blown up. And what, you know, and I'll be interested to get K-Star's comments since he's, you know, has access to a lot of the local news and reports, and we only get the national coverage. But, you know, you really have to sit down and ask yourself a question here. Throughout the entire season, the Colts losing ways was pinned on the fact that there was no Peyton Manning. And without them knowing at this point, and there's a lot of speculation, but without them knowing, they have gone ahead and made decisions that leads you to believe that they've already decided to move on. And that's what is peculiar to me, is I would expect a lot of these things if you knew Peyton Manning wasn't going to come back healthy or wasn't coming back, or, okay, blow it all up then. But, you know, this is a team that routinely wins 10 to 14 games a year under Peyton Manning. No matter what, Marvin Harrison went down, didn't matter. You know. I mean, you can look at the players that have come through that team, and just like the Patriots with Brady, you have, and if Brady wasn't there, dare I say the Colts, he might be the one with three or four Super Bowls at this point. Okay, this team under Manning didn't miss a beat, and I'm, you know, while I did say he will not get that roster bonus, and it's pretty clear that that's not going to happen, I just got to ask myself the question, and maybe, you know, like I said, K-Star has some insight here, is, man, they're blowing this whole thing up, and we don't even know what Peyton Manning's playing condition is going to be, and it's still January. They still have 6-8 weeks before the deadline of making the decision, and they're blowing this whole thing up. K-Star, what can you tell us that maybe we're not getting on ESPN or on NFL Network? You got anything?
Not really. I mean, it's more or less just regurgitated speculation. You know, no one really knows what's going on. Peyton Manning addressed the Indianapolis Star, however, with Bob Kravitz, the local writer here recently, and was just, you know, stating that he's more or less just saddened by seeing, like, the house being retooled and, you know, like, cleanly swept and everything. And he said he had zero plans to retire, and he's not sure why or where Rob Lowe, I believe it was, where he got that report from. And he said that he believes he'll be driven by Mercedes' decision, and they haven't had talks yet. He's not sure when they will, but he said he doesn't assume there'll be any time soon. He figures it'll be around March. And, like, again, which was speculated to begin with. And that's pretty much all we have. You know, Peyton Manning, again, he said that he met with the GM, the new GM, and pretty much only spoke with him in passing in the hallway, and was, again, said that it'll be Jim Mercy's decision, it's not the GM. So, you know, we'll see. But I do believe that Peyton Manning will be there come March if he can prove that he can play. It looks like, since he's not retiring, that, you know, it's encouraging to him and to Peyton Manning fans and Colts fans that he will be ready to play this upcoming season. So with that being known and that being speculated as what will happen, we got to assume that Peyton Manning's going to stay in Indianapolis, because, let's be honest, who would trade a Peyton Manning that is healthy or that can play a quarterback for your team? So, that, again, that's pretty much what everyone believes now, that he's going to be there, he's going to stay, and it's Jim Irsay's decision. And Jim Irsay loves Peyton Manning completely. Basically, that contract he had offered him, Peyton Manning actually had to tell Jim Irsay to, like, look, pay me less, because this is a little bit too much, and I want to, you know, to help the team in other areas rather than just, you know, eat up the cap myself. And, you know, Jim Irsay knew going into the contract anyway that Peyton Manning had some health issues, which, again, was privately talked about, I guess, before it became widely known. So, Jim Irsay knew he was getting into. If anything else, I figured there might be a cap reduction on Peyton's contract, but it looks like Peyton wants to stay retired as a Colt.
I would be, I don't know, I want Train to get in here, but I would be very surprised if Manning's, I don't see it. There's nothing going on. And like I said, I respect the fact that you've got the inside, or should have a little bit of inside news there. But there's nothing going on there that leads me to believe that they want to keep him. I mean, everything is pointing to they're blowing this up, and they're going to rebuild it, and they're going to bring Luck in, and he's going to be the man. And I don't know what they're going to do, release him, trade him. I don't know what. But I don't know. Train, what are your thoughts?
I think the coach is about to be at the bottom of their division. That's what I think. If they're going to bring back, if Peyton Manning can play and he doesn't come back, they're going to be at the bottom of their division. And if they want any kind of control of where he goes, then they better trade him. And preferably put him out of the conference, because if he stays in the conference, Indiana is going to pay for it every single time. Not only are they going to get whooped by their divisional teams, but then they're going to get whooped every time they see Peyton Manning. Because, I mean, I don't see why you reveal if you know this guy is going to be able to play. So it's like everything is leading to Peyton Manning may not be able to play again. If you know this guy is going to be able to play football again, he's not done. He's basically just in the prime of his career. I mean, from the last time I played, I didn't see his skills going downward. You know, I didn't necessarily see them ride. I just felt like he was at the peak. He's at the peak of his career. So you mean to tell me you're going to let him go at the peak of his career and you don't expect him to come back? I mean, I don't know the severity of the injury, but if he can come back and play, I don't see him being worse than what he was. Maybe rusty, but you get that back. Coach's going to be a horrible team if they let him go, man. So Yeah, I think this is all just a little crazy, really.
Well, you know, I saw this with Joe Montana and the 49ers, and they had Steve Young. I don't know if you guys, you know, to be frank, I don't know if you guys are old enough to really remember this in detail. You may know the story, but I don't know if you remember it in detail. They had Steve Young as the backup, and Joe Montana would do a big contract. He was getting up in age, and they released him, and the Chiefs picked him up. And to me, Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback in this game. Now, if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, he may replace Joe Montana in my mind. That's another conversation. Joe Montana, you know, was Tom Brady before Tom Brady, and he was mobile. And he was, you know, people, anybody out there listening, I know we have some of our audience is on the younger side and know these names only by names. But Joe Montana was everything Tom Brady was, and then some before Tom Brady. I mean, he was that good, period. And the 49ers let him go. So it would not at all surprise me, particularly with the fact that they know they got the first pick and all of the reports are saying he's the heir apparent, he's the next big thing. And I guess the history here is they could have gotten John Elway, and that was 15 years before Peyton Manning. Is that the history? And they missed out on Elway, and so then they get Peyton Manning, and now they feel like this is the next guy. You know, it's like one per generation, so they're not going to miss out on Luck. So it seems that the momentum behind Luck is growing, if you ask me, when you look at the decision that they're making. That train, I will agree with you. It would be a huge mistake. If Peyton can play, they need to keep him. They need to do whatever it is they can do, and without a doubt, I completely 100% agree with you. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, my thing is, like, I mean, I don't know how long was Steve Young with the 49ers before he actually took over. I mean, he wasn't just drafted, was he?
No. He was. Oh God, he had to be at least 4 years, 4 or 5 years before he actually became the starter.
And I feel like the perfect formula for your backup to move in place was exactly what happened to Phillip Rivers and exactly what happened to Aaron Rodgers. Phillip Rivers, I think it was 2 years, and Rodgers, it was 3 years. And I'm thinking, you know, if you keep Peyton Manning and you draft Andrew Luck and he comes in, that's about a good 3 years before you phase him in. But you know you got backup. You know, they don't necessarily have him in their camp yet. He's not necessarily a Colt yet. And they haven't really seen anything from him other than what they've seen in college. So everything is still, to me, speculation on Andrew Luck. This dude could turn out to be a bust. I mean, they raved about Ryan Leaf before they actually picked him up. We all know what happened to him. So,
right. But the problem is, look at what we've seen this year, number one. We've seen Cam Newton. We've seen Andy Dalton. Okay, we've even seen Tim Tebow, even though it's his second year. But for all practical purposes, he had no training camp or off season. Nobody did. Didn't play much last year. So, you know, so when you look at, you know, the quarterbacks, we've seen Flynn over there, the one game he played over there in Green Bay. When you see that, it's giving coach, to me, it's, train your words, selling them a dream. They're thinking, none of these guys, maybe Cam Newton is coming in with the same pomp and circumstance. But I think people doubted Cam Newton. Nobody is doubting Andrew Luck. All they're doing is what you're doing, which is, well, remember Ryan Leaf, like the whole caution to the wind, like, wait a minute now. But no one is doubting this guy like they did Cam Newton. So, and the other thing to think about is that $28 million roster bonus due Peyton Manning if he's on the roster in March. That's a lot of money.
Hold on. We got a caller, and it's our favorite guy. So we got to bring him in. Area code 615, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, I'm loving the conversation right now. Loving the topic. This is what I want to ask y'all, man. What's up, bud? I want to ask y'all this, because I feel some siding with Peyton Manning, and I love Peyton Manning. Love to see him play. Great for the game. But, man, dude, he ain't throwed a ball in a year. I've heard reports on that neck injury that he might have problems just living life, doing that everyday things like tying his shoe and stuff like that, let alone play another season. $28 million, that's a lot to risk. That's a big if. I believe they got to move on, man. I believe they have to move on. That's a humongous risk.
So here's the question.
Yes.
Here's the question.
So
if he gets, this is what we don't know. If he gets fully cleared, fully medically cleared, and they say, guess what? Your neck is completely regenerated. He is completely healthy. No limitations. No worries about, you know, being able to chew bubble gum and walk when you're 60 years old. You're fine. You are fine. You truly think that this guy can't come back at 35 years old, maybe going to be 36, having a year off where his body was not beat up or anything. And this is Peyton Manning we're talking about, okay? Don't think he'd come back at the same level that he was last season in
2015? No, under the scenario you just put out there, you would be a fool, and I would pay him $30 million. Because, I mean, you would have to say, if he's totally healthy, I would bet on Peyton Manning more than probably anybody in the league. If he's totally healthy, you have to bring him back.
I have to correct you real quick, though. He actually has thrown some passes. He actually played in two practices with the Colts in late December, throwing the ball like in scrimmage-type setting.
Man, I just don't know, man. I don't know how he's going to be. I wouldn't roll the dice on him right now.
But you got to look at it like this. I'm just going to say, Tom Brady lost, you know, had a first play a couple years ago, right? ACL,
yeah.
Done for the year, right?
Yeah.
Look, you know, he came back. I mean, took him a little while, but now he's playing as good as he's ever played. So
I'm saying the difference. Let me tell you the difference real quick on that. They didn't have somebody like Luck. They had Matt Castle, which I never really believed in him, to be honest. But they didn't have nobody backing Brady up to come fill that spot like the second coming, who Luck's supposed to be. And I think that's where the league is going. You got a young guy, like even in Nashville, I'm ready to see what Locke is going to do. You got a young guy who's ready to come in. You can spend years developing him. I mean, I think it's a little bit different with Tom Brady in New England when he went out. We all expected him to come back and, you know, start out where he finished.
But
I just don't know his neck.
Wait, but we're talking about I get the luck piece because he is scouted as gonna, you know, the projections are very high on him. But we're not talking Tony Romo. Okay, I'll throw a name out you love to talk about. We're talking arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game. When you name five quarterbacks of all time, you've got to have Peyton in that conversation as far as top quarterbacks of all time. And so, you know, proven commodity, work ethic, leadership, professionalism. You know what he brings to this team. There are no kinks in this guy's armor, I'm sad to say, other than the same kinks in everybody's armor, which is father time and health. But everything else, the work ethic, the state of the professionalism, the studying, you know, if anybody can come back, it's going to be Peyton Manning. And he's going to play
that neck injury, dude. That injury,
well,
man, I'm just – when I hear about the injury, they say you don't really come back from it.
He's been throwing the ball, though. He's been doing football-related things. So you can't say that he just can't play football. I mean, is he fully cleared? No, but he's been doing football-related things. I still think I mean, I understand the biggest thing is the $28 million, like T stated. But the biggest thing is the $28 million. Because if that was the fact, I'm sorry, man, you got the best of both worlds. You got Luck who come out at number one, and you got the number one pick, and you already have one of the best quarterbacks that ever played the game sitting there. So for the next 3 years, you can have Look sitting on your bench, learning your offense,
moving
in after about 3 to 4 years, and then boom. Why wouldn't he? Aaron Rodgers did it. Phillip Rivers did it.
Yeah. If you're a real competitor, though, if you're a real competitor and you see Cam come in his first year and put up the numbers he did, you ready to get in there. I guarantee you, I'm better than Cam. I know he's thinking I'm better than Tim Tebow.
Okay, but
and
Cam Newton got thrown in a different situation.
Carolina
didn't have a quarterback. So he had
to come in and
play.
Right. And think about it now. You have the chance to come in and play behind one of the greatest to ever play the game. Why would you not? I mean, if you're a shooting guard coming out of college and Michael Jordan's 35 years old playing for the Bulls and the Bulls are going to draft you, are you going to say, nah, I don't want to play behind Jordan. I want to go somewhere else where I can start. You're going to say, oh, yeah, put me on the team with the Bulls. I mean,
I don't think you will. Let me ask you this. Do you think when Peyton Manning, when he came out of college, you think he would want to sit the bench behind anybody?
But they didn't have anybody.
A real competitor.
We don't know that. We can't prove that he wants to get out there and play. We understand that, but we can't prove to a definite fact that he would or wouldn't have. That's just a what-if scenario. We look at Steve Young, he did it when he was traded to the Niners. And we look at Aaron Rodgers, he did it. I mean, who's to say?
We're talking about the number one pick.
Aaron Rodgers was not number one because he wasn't picked number one. Okay, there were two quarterbacks they raved about before that draft. It was Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith. And after Alex Smith, nobody needed a quarterback. Even when Green Bay picked Aaron Rodgers, they didn't need a quarterback. So
nobody needed a quarterback.
No, nobody. If you were looking at all the team needs. During that particular draft, if you were looking at all the team needs, nobody needed a quarterback except for one team.
That was the team
that was at number one, and that was San Francisco.
Was Tony Romo in Dallas?
When?
Say what? Somebody needed a quarterback. I just can't believe nobody.
Look at Don McNabb in Philly. And Kevin Cobb was picked to be the next future quarterback in Philadelphia in the second round. McNabb was later got rid of after a couple of years of being set behind or being in front of Kevin Cobb. Obviously, Michael Vick kind of rushed him out. But the thing of the matter is, they still had Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb. Egos behind Don McNabb. That's going to work for the year.
Yeah. And they were fine.
To be frank, the Eli Manning for San Diego thing, that was an Archie Manning. I have a legacy in this league. My son's a top player in this league. Not my other son. I'm doing a power play. Okay, that was the exception. Okay, that's not the norm. And I would think someone trying to pull that now, it ain't gonna happen. Luck was smart enough to know. I don't think so. Look at another angle.
Eli Manning. He was added to the Giants. Guess who was there? Kurt Warner. Okay, now let's look at Arizona. Kurt Warner there again. They got the Matt Leinart. What happened? They sat. They didn't complain. No one said anything. Not
Eli ended up playing his rookie year, didn't he?
Yeah, after Kurt Warner got hurt late in the year.
Yeah, he played sometime after week six. Yeah. Kurt Warner was playing terrible.
He was playing terrible,
but it doesn't change the fact of the matter of what happened. Same thing with Arizona. Kurt Warner never gave that spot to Matt Leinart.
You're talking about a man. What you're saying, though, okay, you're talking about a man who's been put on a pedestal.
Matt Leinart was put on a pedestal.
Since sitting on the bench. For, not like Luck, though. I ain't never seen nobody.
Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart.
No,
twice.
Not like Luck.
Twice the resume.
Not
yes,
like
he did. And if he went to the year before, he would have been the number one pick overall.
They were saying this guy was an NFL quarterback a couple of years ago. Man, who does that?
And
you talking about him sitting on the bench for 3 years.
I don't think that's the first time they called somebody. Yeah,
you want him to sit the bench for 3 years?
Who knows how long he'll be?
Come on, man. He ain't trying to sit the bench for no 3 years.
He probably won't. But I guarantee he'll be on the bench for at least 1 year, maybe two.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes
to Indianapolis and they get rid of Peyton Manning, then he'll be the starter. So
exactly.
And I really doubt Andrew Luck is so egomaniacal. Hold on. And I really doubt Andrew Luck is so egomaniacal that he would tell Peyton Manning, "Hey, you should be on the bench." we're calling Peyton Manning. Like, who doesn't respect Peyton Manning?
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's your time.
But you're a rookie.
It's not your time.
You're a rookie. You know what I mean? You haven't thrown a pass in this league yet, and you're sitting behind a 3-4-time MVP, Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest to ever play. You're going to sit there and shut up. You're not going to walk in and talk about it's my job.
You know, that's not going to happen. He probably will shut up. He ain't going to shut up for no 3 years, I'll tell you that. When you're looking at these other cats that came in the league, Cam, Dogs, and you know that you can do better than them. You're sitting there like, I know I can play better than them. It's going to be a problem, man. I mean, he don't want to sit the bench.
That's fine, man. I mean, Andrew Luck be sitting behind Peyton Manning. Again, it's such a different circumstance.
I really do think both of those are different circumstances. They're all together.
Hey, good topics, fellas. I got to roll out time in later.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All right. What do we got next?
All right.
It's time to get into some game thought now, right?
Let's get into stuff about the conference championship analysis. First on the agenda, Tyler's national anthem.
Let me go ahead and say something.
Then I'm gonna turn it over to you. Did it play?
Did it play?
Did it play?
At the beginning of the show, did the national anthem play?
No. Something else played. Our regular thing played.
Oh, okay. I tried to set it up to play. Okay, go ahead. See what you guys are.
No, I just want to say this. That was horrible. I'm done.
Well, my comments are going to be just as brief. He did what he does. If you didn't want that interpretation, why ask him to do it? He's not Whitney Houston. Okay? I think people are really, that's what he does. You know, he's a legend, and that's how he sings. So don't complain on Monday that it sounded, as you say, horrible. And I'm not saying you complained, but when you know that's his style, that's what he brings to the game. So, to me, it's a lot to do over nothing.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I'm not necessarily complaining. I'm just, you know, I've heard national anthems, and that was just like one of the worst ones I heard. I didn't even know, you know, I had never heard him sing, and I was just like, okay, they chose him, cool. Let's get on with the game. That was pretty bad.
Right, and that's the point. Not that you were complaining, or not, you know, but the point is that when you pick him to sing it, and I'm pretty sure he didn't call them and say, I'd really like to sing the national anthem. I'm pretty sure they said, hey, you know, you're on American Idol and all that, and, you know, he's visible. He's more visible now than he's been in a long time. Hey, come sing the national anthem for us. Well, he's going to do what he does. Leave the man alone. I'm not a fan, but I respect what he's done in rock. I mean, you know, I respect it. K-Star, I mean, you probably know more about him than we do.
He, again, did what he did. He sang how he sang. I agree 100%. I'm not sure what more they really wanted or what people really thought they were going to get. That's how he sings. You know, a lot of people like it, obviously. That's why Aerosmith has turned out to be one of the biggest rock bands of all time. And, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. It wasn't great, but hey, I'm sure, yeah, Steven Tyler didn't just ask them to play to sing the national anthem. He was courted. And if you're going to court someone, you better know what you're going to get.
All right.
Lesson learned on the performance committee, you know, screen everybody. Put your ass in the scene. So diving into the games, man. And, man, this didn't get posed to me till after the game and after I was talking to Erica's father, because he's a Ravens fan, but where the Ravens robbed on the Lee Evans catch. And I didn't really think about it till after the fact. And I was like, wow.
You know, when I saw the game, when I saw that play, I thought it wasn't a touchdown. It was a strip. But I thought, but it's a scoring play. They're going to review it. I do think in a game that big, 22 seconds to play, you have to review that play. And I was very surprised when I saw it live, and I'm waiting for them to say booth review, and it never happened. So while I think it was the right call, because that was my gut live, I do think that it was worthy of a review because it was a scoring play. And just because, I mean, he clearly caught the ball, and then he got stripped. And the fact that he turned to make the NFL move that you're required to make to show reception, and then the ball was knocked out in the end zone like that, I think it was worthy of a second look. And knowing that the coaches can't challenge the play, then why wouldn't you just review it just to make sure? That's too big of a game. That literally, I mean, we know, you know, we'll talk about the Cundiff kick, but that literally would have been game. I mean, that's it, game over. There's no way Brady's coming back. Not even Brady was bringing him back with that little bit of time left. So I do think it should have been reviewed.
Yeah, that would have been ball game. And like I said, he didn't. I didn't think about this till after the fact, and I was on the phone with a Ravens fan. They was like, "Man, we got cheated." And I was just like, "How?" And I recalled the play, and I was like, "Oh, that play." And I was just like, "Wow, okay." And when they kept showing the play in slow motion, I was just like, "Well, damn, he did get 2 feet down," and I don't know whether, you know, and they always say you got to complete the catch. But he caught the ball. He literally did catch the ball. And dude came in after second feet was down, but it was bam, bam. Just like foot down, boom, ball out. So it looked like the ball was just stripped as he caught it. But when you say, when you play in a slow motion, dude caught the ball. And it's just,
well,
it just sucked that they didn't take a second look.
I don't know that it was that clear in slow motion, though, because, I mean, I watched it on First Take, and they showed it. They freeze-framed it. They showed it slow, and it's really close. And
yeah, it was bam-bam. It was
you can't even get the second bam in. It was really close to where I think they made the right call, even seeing it in slow motion. I think it was the right call. I don't think that second foot hit while he had possession. I think as the foot was coming down, the ball was coming out. And that's not a reception. That's how I saw it. K-Star, how did you see it?
I saw it the same way. You know, he when I saw it live, I figured he dropped it because he didn't, you know, complete the catch. And I'm pretty sure that's the whole point. In the end, he had to complete the catch. He got both feet in, but again, he got stripped kind of simultaneously. So I don't see how you can argue that as a touchdown catch when, again, he didn't, you know, control the ball or the catch the whole way through. So obviously, I was happy to see that he had dropped it or whatever. But to me, it wasn't a catch. I mean, we could sit here and look at the replay, and that the only conclusive thing we really see is that he did, in fact, get the ball stripped from him.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm not sure if we got a caller chiming in. Let me try this one more time. Area code 615. I didn't know if you were chiming in or what. Thank you. No, he isn't. Okay. Never mind. Switchboard is a little funny. But, yeah, but I will agree with you on one thing. It definitely should have been reviewed again. I mean, for a game that close, and for a play to be that close, it doesn't hurt to review it and just confirm your call. And that just goes, that's pretty much how the NFL refs have been like all season. They really have been dropping the ball on calls. Whistles blowing early, whistles blowing late. I really hope they clean it up next season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the fact that, you know, like I said, it should have been reviewed. You know, I do think they got the right call, but you got to review that play. You know, and one thing, you know, the other thing is I think that the cornerback made a hell of a play. But Lee Evans is a veteran. What are you thinking, dude? What are you thinking?
Yeah, you got
You're
it.
In the end zone. You got to secure that ball, man. I mean, you know. I don't know, man.
He dropped the red basket, too.
I mean, it was right there. I mean, I mean, you got to, I mean, fall to the ground, something. I mean, but you got to secure that ball, man. I mean, that is your livelihood. That is, you get paid to catch passes, and that's the game is right there, and it's in your arms, and you don't, I mean, he's able to knock it out of your hands. It wasn't like a running back running through a line and someone from the blind side comes in and he doesn't even see him and strip the ball. You're right there. I mean, I think that's inexcusable. I've never been a huge Lee Evans fan, to be honest with you. You know, I think we have someone in the AFL who was a huge, you know, talk about Lee Evans, and I think I have him on Facebook. I should send him a message. What do you think of Lee Evans now? Because to me, you know, that's right. Just inexcusable. Inexcusable. But
yeah, that's a big time. That's a big time play that you have to make.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Next topic is biggest scapegoat. 49ers returning Kyle Williams or Ravens kicker Billy Cundiff.
You know, before we talk about that, you know, I heard something today that was really disturbing that I want to just speak on real quick. You know, the guy there, Kyle Williams, man. You know, listen, I think people have heard our show. They've heard me. They've heard you train. They've heard K-Star. We've all been homers. We're all big fans. I mean, we heard K-Star, you know, he shut down his Facebook. He, you know, went crazy on Twitter when the Steelers lost. Hey, we take our loyalty to our teams very seriously, and we follow the game, and it means a lot to us, no doubt about it. But do it go to the point where this guy from the 49ers received death threats? People, I don't get it. I'm not going to say it's just the game, because I understand. I understand being a fan and how loyal we are to our team and how much it hurts when our teams lose. I understand that. Okay, I get that. Cowboys have been in the Super Bowl 8 times, won 5, lost 3. Okay, I get it. I understand. But to go to that point where you threaten a man's life, I don't know what people are out there thinking. I don't even know why I'm surprised. And sometimes this country just disappoints me. You know, like, really? What do you, you know, like, whoever's doing it, I doubt that there's anyone that would listen to our show. But at the outside chance that you're catching the archive and you're that type of person, what is your freaking problem? What is your problem? And that's all I got to say.
Wow, I didn't know that man was receiving desperate.
It seems to always happen when a player really blows a game of that magnitude. It really shouldn't really be too surprising, especially now Twitter, being around. But look, if I'm a Niners fan, I'm sick. Or really a Ravens fan, but I don't care about them. I'm glad they lost. As a Niners fan, I'm not sure. You gotta say that the Kyle Williams was worse because he did it twice. He didn't screw up once. He screwed up twice.
Yeah.
Both in the fourth quarter of his own side of the field. So, when you do it twice, you know, that always one mistake. Again, it was in the fourth quarter and in overtime on their own side of the field. So, that was pretty brutal.
And see, and I disagree. I think Cundiff was because Kyle Williams had only returned 6 punts in his life. He was only back there because Ted Ginn Jr. was hurt, so he's a backup. Cundiff is a starter. He's been in the league 9 years. He even played for Dallas, so I remember him clearly. And his job is to make kicks. It's a 32-yard kick. Okay, for these guys, that's a chip shot. And for him to shank that badly like that with overtime, and you know a Super Bowl is on the line, I mean, you know what? I don't have the sympathy that the rest of the world had for him. He blew it, you know, and you're going to have to live with that for the entire offseason. I don't want to hear – I mean, hey, I got a lot of respect for Ray Lewis. And Ray Lewis, hey, man, that guy,
I mean, I love me some Ray Lewis, man. I heard all his comments. Don't hang your head low. We win as a team and we lose as a team. Absolutely right. And that is what you say if you're on the Ravens. That is what you say, at least to the press. I know what they're saying to each other. I know they're saying, man, what is wrong with this guy? I saw Thugs with the, oh, my God. Okay, so
I saw that, right. He was right. Holy God. I saw
all the stunned looks, okay? But when you talk to the press, absolutely, you're saying all the right things. But I'm going to tell you, Kundin blew it, period. He blew it. Go ahead, Trent.
Well, I'm going to take this angle. The question says GOAT, so I'm assuming that means scapegoat. And but I'm going to take the question in this angle. Scapegoat versus biggest choke, okay? Kundin was definitely the biggest choke. You have one job on this entire football team. You got one job, and that's to kick the ball. Whether it be a kickoff or a field goal, you got one job. You have time to warm up. You know if your team doesn't get a touchdown, that you got to make this field goal. So you got one job. That, by far, was definitely a big choke in a big game. Not to say you would have won it because it would have sent it in overtime, but you got to make that kick. But I do think that the Ravens coaching staff just mishandled that whole last few seconds. But first of all, it's 3rd-and-1. I don't see how you don't run a play to easily get a first down. It looked like Flacco didn't know what he wanted to do on that play. Then you had two people kind of running on the same side of the field, and neither one of them was breaking to the sideline or anything, and all you need to do was get a first down, call a timeout, and take a shot in the end zone. But, okay, you don't get that. It's fourth down, and you have a timeout. I don't see why you don't take your timeout when it's in the last seconds of the game. I mean, you can't take the timeout in overtime. You take your timeout. Your team reset. Your kicker comes out, you know, just maybe a little bit more relaxed instead of being rushed in the 40 seconds that you have to get the next playoff. I don't get that. I just think that was really bad management by the Ravens. So, yeah, biggest choke definitely go to Kundin. But, yeah, scapegoat, man, Kyle Williams got the scapegoat trophy. Because
you know,
let me finish real quick. One, the first fumble, I don't see how you don't go and rush for that ball when you know the ball hit your leg. You feel a football that touches you, and you just end there and let the ball bounce. And the second one, you know, somebody got to tell this kid, look, this is a big game. You got to make – I mean, and it definitely was an experience factor because he caught that ball, and the defender was within 5 yards of him catching that ball. So he didn't even have a chance to really secure it. He's thinking, I should try to make a play. Dude, before you can even get your first couple of steps off, you already have a hand on you. That's a huge experience factor. Because had it been Ted Ginn, I don't think that would have happened. Neither one of them fumbles would have happened had it been Ted Ginn. So, yeah, scapegoat trophy goes to that was the list.
Yeah, and I just want to say, because I know K-Star is just happy the Ravens lost, so he don't really have much to say. But, you know, when you look at that game as a whole and you look at, I mean, nobody, including the three of us, thought that Flacco would play as well as he played. He literally outplayed Tom Brady, and I can't even really – and my mouth hurts trying to say those words because it doesn't add up, okay? It's like Joe Flacco outplayed Tom Brady? What? But he did. But that last 45 seconds or so, Flacco's running, and he throws that last pass, and he could have ran for a first down, and he didn't. They don't call a timeout, and then they rush Kundin out there, and then he shanks it. I mean, wow. You know, and Harbaugh, both the Harbaugh brothers, great coaches. But clearly, I think we can find instances where you have a seasoned playoff coach like Tom Coughlin, a seasoned, real seasoned playoff coach like Belichick. These guys have been there before. And it really, both games, great games, but really, comes down to a few decisions down the stretch. And like you said, great point on Williams there. I mean, this guy, you know, he's your backup. He makes a mistake. The ball hit him. I don't know how he doesn't feel it hit his leg. He doesn't run after him. To me, that's when your special teams coach or, damn it, your head coach is grabbing this guy and saying, hey, man, you know, we're playing. This is the, get your head out of your ass and secure, you know, take care of that ball. That ball hit you. I know you felt it, and you just stood there, okay? And I think I'm pretty sure instead they were like, it's okay, you know, patting him on the back, and it's all right. And then he goes out there and fumbles, you know. And I mean, those two plays literally difference between them going to the Super Bowl and not, you know. So
yeah,
I think coaching down the stretch really had a lot. Had a lot to do with it. K-Star, any thoughts?
I got a few. K-Star, you know, this is what they do. They always come short. They always play short. They always do something. They always just screw it up somehow, some way. And I go to sleep at night, you know, knowing that happens. And I get great sleep because every year, even for whatever reason, the Steelers are out, I know that they're going to lay down the Ravens eventually. And they did it again. You know, Joe Flacco. By the way, Vince Wilfork, can we talk about that man? On that 4th and 6, he completely just blew up the center and pushed right into Flacco and forced Flacco to give the ball on 4th and 6. That man just played like a man possessed. Vince Wilfork, big props to him. But back to the misery of the Ravens. You know, Joe Flacco, again, he missed the running back to the flat on that 3rd down before the Shanks field goal. That would have been a sure touchdown. He could have scrambled it as well. You know, he could have done many other things. And, you know, Tom Brady didn't have a great game whatsoever. He had 2 picks. He had a touchdown. He played pretty bad, to be honest with you. It wasn't really Tom Brady that I thought we'd see. That chuck down the field to get picked off was pretty horrible. I'm not sure what he was doing there. But, you know, again, it comes back to the Ravens finding a way to lose games, whether it's shanking field goals, whether it's get up 3rd and 20s, or whether it's just, you know, being the Ravens and just finding a way to lose in big games, in the biggest of games, it always seems to happen. And history tends to repeat itself, and it did for the Ravens. I'm so happy it did. Kyle, Joe Flacco, Lamar Woolley said, will never win a Super Bowl. Never.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would not count those Ravens out next year.
They'll be there, but they'll lose again.
Well, maybe. I mean, but that's the Steeler in you talking. They played well enough to win that game. You know, and they're your worst nightmare because, you know, they beat you guys twice this year. So your team got to come up with an answer for them next year because they had your number this year. So it doesn't matter if they lay down, if they knock you out before it's going to be interesting.
they beat us twice in the regular season, but a couple of years ago the Bengals did the same thing. We came back and we swept them, so I don't think we'll sweep the next year. I think we'll split, like, which is pretty much always what happens. But, you know, they're definitely still a very good team. I'm not disputing that, but they are getting up there in age with Ed Reed and, you know, Ray Lewis and those guys being so integral to their success. So, no, we'll see.
I don't see any.
I think that Torrey Smith is the bright future of all the young players in the Ravens. He's kind of scary.
I don't see any letdown in Ray Lewis. I mean, and he came right out and said, I will be back next year before you even ask. And, I mean, if he's still playing the level that he's playing at, why not? He's still playing at a very high level. He's got a lot of help. You know, Suggs is a man child. He's a beast.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be in the mix. But anyway,
let me ask you real quick. I got a caller that wants to chime in, but for Saint calling, you get the yellow question mark to let me know that he wants in, but it doesn't go away when I put him on mute. How do I know he wants to come back in?
Yeah, because you put him on mute, so it's still there. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, here we go. We got another caller. Welcome to the Madden Voice, Dustin Smith.
Yes, I. You know me. I love football, and I think Giants are gonna beat the Patriots. Even though I'm a Packer fan, Giants has what it takes. I am proud of the team. They are going to win come the Super Bowl. Go, New York Giants.
All right.
All right. We haven't made our predictions yet, but go done. All right. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, you know, and for those out there interested in our picks, we're going to actually save our picks for next show. Next week's show will be at 9 o'clock. It will not be at 8 o'clock. It will be at 9 o'clock, a one-hour show, and we're really just going to review what's the latest news. So, you know, there's a lot of news out there on the players. You know, we'll cover all this next week. Brady, you know, rechecking the mechanics of his throwing, Gronkowski in a walking boot. You know, how's Eli Manning? He was sick last week. He got beat up real good by the 49ers. So we're going to look at the health of both teams, you know, the latest in what we know about both teams, look at key matchups, and then make our predictions. It'll be a one-hour show next week. And, you know, we'll have all up to the latest news on Super Bowl 46. And we might even, who knows, I mean, K-Star being right in town, maybe there'll be a few inside things that he'll know of being right in town that he could share with us on the show next week. So it should be an exciting show for Super Bowl 46. Train, what do we have next on the agenda?
Wow. Man, this is definitely a good question. I can even answer this. Why are the Giants so good now? After an up and down year,
I have an answer.
Good.
Go ahead.
you know, they started out decent being the year, and then of course they suffered the injuries to Ahmad Bradshaw, who, as we all agreed on when he got hurt, that'd be a big loss for them. Well, he's back now. We've seen Osi Mignon, who didn't start out the season playing for them until the fifth or sixth week, re-injure himself. He's back completely fully healthy now. Justin Tuck suffered injuries all year. He's completely healthy now. They had some secondary injuries as well. So I know some of those guys have come back. And let's be honest, they discovered Victor Cruz. And that receiving core is very, very deep. So when you have a healthy Bradshaw and a great receiving core and a very good quarterback in Eli and, you know, a ferocious front four, you get – a very good football team, especially a team that has experience. And, you know, we talked about the similarities to 07. Well, they're here now more than ever. Main difference being, of course, that Eli Manning is more established now than he ever was. And a better receiving core. So, hey, it shouldn't be too surprising the Giants are here. When you look at all their health finally being intact and the way they've been playing lately, of course. So, again, I think it's just health more than anything else. And just being a hot team, that matters so much when you get into the playoffs. Just coming in hot, you know, coming in hot, being a healthy team, usually works in your favor for a team.
Well, we have one answer from the chat room. Jedi Capricorn says that Perry Puel changed his defensive coaching style, which I hadn't really paid much attention to that. But I know they had quite a few guys standing up in a lot of their defensive calls early on in the season. But it looks more like the defense that led them, you know, to the Super Bowl from what I've seen them play lately. But I'll just kind of agree with K-Star on a couple of points. I think, you know, we caught some momentum. The New York game, Dallas game going in. Both of those were huge games because you needed to win those in order to make it. And then you get, you know, you get healthy players back. So, I mean, that's a great combination going into the playoffs, you know, to get to catch momentum and to get have some healthy players and to have some players, you know, step up that people knew nothing about, i.e. Victor Cruz, man. Who is that? Is that
you, T? Yeah, that's me. I can't stand them Giants. Can't believe I got to sit here and go through this all over again. Freaking Giants going to the Super Bowl at the Cowboys' expense again. If we had just beat them that first game, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But with that said, I will give credit where credit is due. First thing is I'm going to start on the defensive side. The defense, to me, again, similar to 07, the defense has stepped up and is playing very, very good ball. You know, the games that they played, you know, I mean, what they did to the Packers, whoa. You know, I don't really – the Falcons game, I mean, the Falcons just didn't show up. And, you know, it's disgusting that they wasted a playoff spot because they didn't do anything with it. But what they did to the Packers and the 49ers game, what did you say?
Should have been the Bears.
Or the Cowboys. Either one of our teams would have did more with that. I mean, as pitiful as we played against the Giants, the last game of the season still played better than the Falcons did in the playoffs. So. But that said, the defense stepped up, has played really well. Their front four has played really well. And, you know, I have to say that I will go to my grave saying that Tony Romo had a better regular season than Eli Manning. However, something about, once again, now he doesn't do this every year. He's not Peyton, okay? And the comparisons to Peyton is just, as Stephen A. Smith would say, it's just so disrespectful, okay? He's not Peyton. But what he has done this year is eerily similar to what he did in 07. He is playing at a very high level in the playoffs this year. He's playing as good as any quarterback in recent years has played in the postseason. I do give him credit. He's shown mobility. He's shown good decision-making. But he's got some major weapons to help him out, man. I mean, when you've got Cruz, Nix, Manningham, Ballard, Bradshaw coming out of the backfield, I mean, it really does help you out. It really does help him out. He's got a ton of good weapons. But I said that I'm not going to hate, even though I can't stand the Giants, but I will give Eli Manning credit. He's playing very, very well. And I think the fact that, you know, we'll get into a lot of this next week, the fact that the Patriots come out 3.5-point favorite is ridiculous. This should be even money. This game, and I know Vegas doesn't like even money, especially for the Super Bowl, so I know we're not going to get it, but this game should be even money. This is a pick 'em game, period. There's no Patriots 3.5-point favorite? Are you kidding me? I don't get that at all. Anyway,
I will say one thing about Eli Manning that I was impressed with was just his game, and that was that dude's toughness, because the 49ers whipped him the entire game.
Yep.
They whipped the mess out of Eli Manning that entire game. This dude got a helmet on sideways, grass covering up the face mask. I mean, he was getting pummeled. And yet, he was still standing in there, throwing the ball, coming back the next play, throwing the ball. I mean, they showed 60-something drop backs, and he got knocked down almost a third of the time.
Yeah.
Good grief. And he's still getting back up. That's why I tip my hat off to, dude. Please take that toughness with you when you get ready to play in the Super Bowl, because hey, even though the Patriots' defense has been kind of garbage all season long, Belichick would have them ready for this game. So, man, I was very impressed with it. With it.
All right.
Next topic. still a Cowboy battle. How do the Steelers and the Cowboys feel about what's going on, I guess, with these playoffs and not being there?
Well, you know, let me give you the background to the question. I mean,
okay.
The reason that this was a question, one, is because obviously two of the hosts are Steelers and Cowboys fan, but, you know, the Cowboys were 5 minutes away from pretty much eliminating the Giants from the playoffs, okay, in the first game. Had the Cowboys won that game, the Giants were virtually out of the playoffs, and they didn't win. And now they're seeing the Giants go on another 07-like run straight into the Super Bowl. The Steelers have beaten the Patriots. Back when the Patriots were looking like they were unbeatable, the Steelers went in and beat the Patriots. And now they lose to Denver, who the Patriots mopped the floor with. So I just sat here thinking, man, that true blue Steelers fans have got to be sitting there shaking their heads saying, you know, that should have been us. Because there was no way the Ravens were going to beat us 3 times in a row. That wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. So that should be us, you know. And I know Cowboy fans are thinking, damn, you know, I mean, a play away. I mean, if Miles Austin and Tony Romo connected on that lob, game's over. And then maybe we get hot. Maybe we get on a little run. And so I pose the question because, you know, you sit back and you watch your rivals do well and you watch your competitors do well, and it's got to make you feel a little messed up on the inside. And I will say this. It does bother the most Cowboy fans that the Giants are doing this well. But the reality is, even if we had eliminated the Giants defense is playing on a level that the Cowboys defense hasn't seen all year. And when you're playing teams like the Eagles and the Packers, that's what you need to bring to the table. So I'm skeptical on whether Dallas would have been competitive. So I'm okay. I'm at peace. Okay, I really am. I don't know if K-Star feels the same way, though, because he had a 12-14. K-Star, what are your thoughts?
I'm pretty pissed off just thinking about it because I was really infuriated when I was watching the Broncos-Patriots game because, you know, that was the Broncos we expected to see. And the whole time while watching the game, I was just thinking to myself, you know, we should be in New England. And we match up so well against them. And honestly, we beat them pretty handily earlier in the year. And, you know, again, to watch them play the Ravens, I really don't feel as if the Ravens would have been able to beat the Steelers 2 times in a row. That's just ridiculous of a notion. So I'm very bitter, especially since they're coming to Indianapolis. The Steelers will be coming to Indianapolis this year to see me. To see me and to win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis would have been just perfect, but it didn't happen, and it's frustrating because, again, we had a team to do it. I was 12-4. We suffered injuries at the wrong time of the year, but the fact of the matter is the Steelers were a matchup problem for the Patriots, and then, you know, they won the AFC last year, so we could have done it again. So it's pretty demoralizing that we had lost to a fluke Denver team, to say the least. It's bothersome.
And I will say this, and I'm still waiting to get a commitment from Dr. Train for next season, but we've already gotten a commitment from K-Star, and hopefully Dr. Train will commit. Because next season, the Cowboys host both the Steelers and the Bears. Now, I don't know if the Bears and the Steelers play. Train, you might know that. Do you guys play?
No, not in AFC. We play the AFC South.
Okay. Man, that would have been sweet if all of our teams were playing each other. But at least, you know, there is something to argue about next year.
Indeed. Okay. Similarities to 2007 versus differences in 2007. I assume this is opposed to Giants versus Patriots.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, obviously this is a rematch of Super Bowl 42, and there's been a lot of talk about the similarities in the Giants. But what I want to focus on is a little bit of the differences this year, this run for both teams versus 07. And I think the biggest thing is, I think people are forgetting that, the Giants have made a nice run both years, but that year, I mean, the Patriots were overwhelming favorite, 18-0, you know, Randy Moss, you know, these guys were playing at an insane level. And this year, and so I don't feel like the Patriots were hungry because they had walked through almost everybody. Yeah, they had played, I recall they had played the Giants, the regular season game, and it was a close game. Yep, I remember that. But I don't think they were hungry because they were undefeated. They hadn't had that loss. Like the Packers had that loss, and a lot of people said, as good the Packers had that loss. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, because it led to a bye, you know, I mean, not a bye, but it led to people not playing, and maybe that affected their game against the Giants. I don't know. But I didn't get the hunger from the Patriots that year that I'm getting this year. I mean, Tom Brady, we're seeing a different Tom Brady this year. He's been doubted. He's been questioned. And we saw him against the Broncos and the way he was spiking the ball. We saw him against the Ravens. Tom Brady dived over the pile to get a touchdown. I don't watch all of the Patriots games, but I do live in Connecticut, so I am exposed to most of their games. I have never seen Tom Brady. That's John Elway. That's not Tom Brady. I've never seen him.
Right.
For Tom Brady to do that? Right.
I mean,
and so
he went head over. That was, yeah.
It was, and so I think while everyone's talking about the Giants, you know, and the run and the rematch, I do want people to, the one thing I want people to consider is that this Patriots team, and the other thing is that defense. defense that the Patriots have had, I mean, you know, that defense is starting to play some ball now. 32nd ranked defense. First time in a Super Bowl that a team with a 32nd ranked defense is playing in a Super Bowl game. First time. But that defense in the playoffs is starting to play some football. The reason is they're hungry. That team is hungry. Brady Belichick is hungry. I won't make a prediction now, but let's realize that this is on that level, this is a much different game we're going into than back in 07. Those are my thoughts. What do you think? I don't know, whichever one you guys want to talk. I don't care.
Well, I'll hop in with it. I would have to agree to you about the on the Patriots. I won't say that this team is better than the 07 team. I just think this team is a little bit more dangerous. And they're dangerous because they're hungry, you know. Yeah, I mean, they may only be the 3.5-point favorite, but, you know, Zach in that Super Bowl, hell, they would probably be a 2-score favorite in that particular Super Bowl. So this team, to me, is a lot more dangerous. It's just the way that, you know, that they run their offense now, you know, running through two tight ends instead of, you know, a couple of receivers. At the same time, looking at the Giants, I just look at the Giants' differences. I think the receiving core as a whole is better. I still think the 07 defense was better because it took a minute for this defense to turn on, and it may have been due to injury, but I still think the 07 defense was better, and that's what they rode to the championship was the play of that defense along with, you know, Eli Manning making some plays. But, the Giants' wide receiver core is better. Eli Manning has gotten better. I mean, he's not the same Eli that went into the 2007 Super Bowl. He's a better quarterback now. And it definitely tells from his toughness. I mean, you could take a beating from San Francisco, who I think has the best defense out of the entire year. I think I think you're pretty much ready to take on any defense, for that matter, because they really did whoop up on that guy. So, that's my thoughts as far as similarities. K-Star.
You know, I feel like obviously the 07 Patriots are much better than this team. And I did feel like, however, the 07 Giants, this version of the team is better than the one that won the Super Bowl versus the Patriots. We had, you know, the great defensive line of 07 with, you know, Michael Strahan, OC, Tuck, and Kiwanuka. But now, you know, they have a young Jason Pierre-Paul. So the pass rush is still there. But Eli's better now, you know. Amon Bradshaw is playing at a high level. You know, Brandon Jacobs is still there. And, of course, now they have Akeem Nicks, Richard Caruth, and Mario Manningham. They didn't have that back then. So, to me, the Giants team's better than the one that won it a few years ago. And the Patriots team is a little not as good as the Patriots squad. So, hey, if you look at it now, if you were to make an early prediction, you would say the Giants seem to be the favorites rather than the Patriots. But the similarities are pretty, you know, again, eerie to 07. So, it should be a good game. I'm really excited. The matchup is very, very attractive. Eli versus, you know, Brady, that's a great, you know, matchup. And the fact that 07 was in recent memory one of the greatest Super Bowls we've ever played, or ever played, it just, you know, goes to show you that the NFL is wonderful. So it's going to be a good game. I'm very excited to see it.
No, just real quick, when me and T kept talking about how hungry the Patriots were, Jedi Capricorn come in with, yeah, they hungry. Give them some Fruit Loops and tell them to get ready for next season because they are losing the Super Bowl. I just thought that was fun. So, but anyway,
I hope he comes on the show if the Giants lose.
Right.
That's all I want to say.
Right. Next topic. Who's got more to play for, Tom Brady or Manning? Eli Manning.
K-Star, why don't you start?
It's Tom Brady. Because if he wants to go down as a greatest quarterback to ever do it, he has to win this game. He can't lose 2 Super Bowls. That can't happen and have him be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady has a legacy at stake. Eli Manning, you know, he's still a young guy. He still has the second half of his career. And he's, you know, a pretty good quarterback. I think we all agree on that. But even if he wants a Super Bowl, as we talked about before, it doesn't. I don't think it raises him to you know, like a top three level of who's playing right now. It'll be an amazing achievement for him to beat Brady again. You know, it'll be an amazing thing to go on his resume and all that. But this is, you know, this is Tom Brady, Brady's legacy. It's going to be his fifth Super Bowl appearance. And if he goes 4-1 in the Super Bowl, then who knows if he gets another one, which he probably will, knowing him. And he can only elevate his chances of being the greatest of all time. And I think that's what Tom Brady wants. I think, you know, Tom Brady, of course, probably would never say that. But you can see that that's what he wants. That's what fuels him. That's what makes him great. So I think it's more about Brady and the Patriots.
All right, go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, I look at this question, I think about, you know, definitely Tom Brady's legacy. I mean, Patriots was definitely a team of the last decade, and, you know, he went through all this season, and he was kind of getting ignored, you know, with all the rookie quarterbacks stepping up, then, you know, the whole Tebow time, and, you know, all the publicity Tebow get right before the Denver Patriots game. I look at that versus, okay, this may be a chance for Eli Manning to step out of the shadow of, completely out of the shadow of Peyton Manning by winning a second Super Bowl. You know, because they question, is he better than Peyton? I still don't think so. But I think as far as more to play for, I think Tom Brady has more to play for. I think, you know, for him to, one, you know, he's pretty much carrying a team that didn't, you know, he played, you know, on his previous Super Bowl wins, you know, they had a much better defense than what they've had since then, you know, and especially with the way the defense has played this year. But I think just for his legacy alone, and to definitely be mentioned as one of the best quarterbacks of all time, you know, when you speak about quarterbacks, I think he has a lot more to play for than Eli Manning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree with you guys. I think because Eli still got some years left, and I was leaning at one point a little towards Eli because of the whole Peyton thing, and then I saw Peyton's interview after the game, and, you know, the proud big brother, and, you know, those guys, that family is just weird. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but, like, you get no sense of any animosity or any between those two guys. It's just 100% support for each other. And even when they played, I mean, I guess the advantage is they had a father, even though he wasn't very successful, but he had a long pro career, so he knew what was coming, and he got his kids ready to play. And, you know, you don't get that. Whatever is fueling Eli, it's not to be better than Peyton. He's going to let us determine that. He's just playing games. So because of that, I think Brady has the bigger to play for. But I don't think it's his legacy right now. I don't think that's what he's playing for right now. I think he just wants to beat Eli Manning because Eli Manning stopped him from winning the Super Bowl in 07 and from doing something never done before, going 19-0, never been done. And Eli Manning and the Giants stopped him. And so for me, because what did you hear? I mean, the interview that Brady did after the Ravens game was much different than any interview I've ever heard. Granted, he didn't throw a touchdown pass, and his streak of whatever how many games in a row is done or whatever. Okay, Tom Brady has played worse games than that, and I didn't hear that type of interview. I've heard, oh, you know, we got to get better. We got to work on some things, check out the film. But he flat out said, I sucked. He came out and said, I have to play better if we're going to win in 2 weeks. And what is he looking at? He's looking at Eli. And he's looking at how well Eli's playing and how he's being compared to Eli and how Eli beat him earlier this year in Foxborough and how Eli beat him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And all I got to say is, he had the same motivation with Tim Tebow twice. Now he's got that hunger, that fire against Eli. So I think Brady's got more to play for, and I think his motivation is to outplay and to win, not just to outplay him and lose, but to outplay him and win the game.
What's that? Oh, by the way,
Jedi Capricorn said he'll call in either way. So,
okay.
Good.
All
right. These were phrased, and I'll let you explain these. It says Newton replaces Eli, and then it has no Romo, no Stafford. And then the other one is Dalton replaces Brady, no Flacco. So,
yeah, so I mean, the first one, the second one's easy. I mean, Brady's going to the Super Bowl, so he's not going to play in Sunday's Pro Bowl. So Dalton gets his spot. And
These are Pro Bowl. Okay.
Pro Bowl.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know what. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Well, when I did it, I was going to host, so I didn't have to put a lot of detail down because I knew what I was talking about. So the question is, I mean, we'll start with the Flacco. You know, I mean, is Dalton a better pick than Joe Flacco? I mean, you know, when you look at the stats, you know, I mean, the quarterback rating is pretty close. I think you could make an argument that Flacco maybe should have gotten in instead of Dalton, but I'm not. I mean, it's not a huge difference, and I know K-Star is not going to agree with it, so we don't have to ask K-Star on this one because he hates the Ravens. But on the NFC side, okay, on the NFC side, I got a problem. Okay, I have a huge problem. Eli Manning is going to the Super Bowl. Congratulations. He's not going to be at the Pro Bowl. If you had said to me that Matt Stafford was getting that spot, I'd be quiet. I'd have nothing to say. Okay? I'd have nothing to say. Took the team to the playoffs, 5,000 yards passing. Can't argue that. Cam Newton over Romo or Stafford for the Pro Bowl?
Cam
6-10? Pro
Bowl? Damn.
He had, you know, an okay season.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. We're talking Pro Bowl now. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
When you're talking, wait. When you judge his performance as a rookie, you could say he had a great season as a rookie. But on a Pro Bowl, now you're judging his performance against every other quarterback. You don't get extra points because you did it as a rookie. You're getting judged on the same level as every other quarterback. So when you do that, then I say, well, he had an okay season. Then you take out the fact that he was a rookie, and you say, I don't see anything to jump out that says he should get in over Matt Stafford or Tony Romo. I don't get it. I don't get that at all. I went on the Cowboys page to try to read some fan comments, and the fans pretty much say the NFL's tired of Tony Romo now. Like, they've had enough of him. You know, he's 31, going to be 32 years old, and they're done with him. He's no longer the darling of the NFL. And that's what the fans are saying. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, they're looking at the future, and Cam's the future. But on performance, I don't see it. I think it should have been either Tony Romo or Matt Stafford. I would have been okay with Matt Stafford based on his production this year. But Cam, I don't see it.
Whoa, Cam. Look, Cam Newton still had 35 touchdowns and 16 picks this year, over 4,700 yards combined as a rookie.
The rookie doesn't matter. We're talking Pro Bowl. Get rid of the rookie.
Okay. Let's just forget the rookie. 4,700 yards, 35 touchdowns. Good? Can we agree that's pretty good?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
On a team that went 1-15 last year and had the number 32 ranked offense, now has the 4th ranked offense in the year, pretty good. I think a lot of it, though, has to do with the fact that it's still fan voting, and it takes a third of the voting process. And the fans love Cam Newton for obvious reasons, most exciting player or young player in the NFL. And again, if you look at his numbers, I understand the 6 wins, you know, but that's what happens when your team was 1-15 the year before. You look at a guy who is transcending the game and just completely just blew it up this year. You know, we can ignore the fact that he's a rookie. That's fine. He still had 4,700 total yards, 35 total touchdowns, which is just asinine. He's pretty deserving. I wouldn't say that he should have won.
You've also gone on record to say that he's going to be the best quarterback to ever play the game. You'll be eating those words. I don't know if we'll be doing that
no.
voice.
No feeling whatsoever. He's going to want to get better. But again, you know, Matt Stafford, Tony Romo, probably more deserving. But again, I think a lot of it's had to do with the fact that Cam Newton and the fan factor of it all, and the fact that, you know, he still had He still had a tremendous year.
Hey, Train, did you hear that? Did you hear that? In the middle of all his Cam hype, he actually agreed with me. But he's taking his time to hype up Cam. And in there, he threw in one quick sentence. They were actually more deserving, but he's taking his time to hype up Cam. You don't have to hype up Cam.
Yeah,
you know he had it. We know as a rookie, he had a great season. As an NFL quarterback, he had a
great
good
season.
He had a good season. Okay, and I believe he will get better and he will improve. I don't know about all the greatest of all time bullshit, but he will improve, I give you that. But to say that he played on a higher level as a quarterback than Romo or Stafford, Romo had the number 4 quarterback rating, number 4 QBR behind the big 3 this year. Okay, to me, had the best best year of his career. Just unfortunately didn't have the supporting cast that I wish he had had. But that Pro Bowl is about individual performance. That's what Pro Bowl is about. Okay.
Well, again, he still had over 4,000 yards passing and 700 yards rushing and broke the touchdown record for most touchdowns run by quarterback in a single season with 15. So, I mean, it's not like it's asinine that he made it.
I wouldn't go asinine, but I don't think he should have been there above those two guys. I don't see it. You know, finished the year with
it. Again, I think a lot of it. I think a lot of the fans. It's a lot of the fans.
I would say this. I would say he probably was the second most player to watch this year because I will tell you that most people wanted to watch Tim Tebow before Cam Newton this year.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying.
Why.
That's a travesty.
I
wouldn't
know. Tebow was compelling drama, but Cam was more of an electrifying player to watch. I don't think Tebow was electrifying to watch.
But people wanted to watch Tim Tebow. They asked him to commentate the Patriots Ravens game, and he declined because he's a ratings monster right now. But anyway, what do you think, man? I know you're not a big Detroit fan, but what do you think?
I'm not, but honestly, Matthew Stafford had my pick. I thought his stats were awesome. He was the only other quarterback that threw over 5,000 yards besides Drew Brees, man. So, I mean, if you're going to pick a replacement, it definitely should be Matthew Stafford.
He went to the playoffs.
And they had no running game. I think people missed that. Like, Detroit, the reason why his stats were so gaudy. And it paid off because they did make the playoffs, but they had no running game. So he had to pass the ball. That's why he had, when you look at his interceptions were pile-ups. I mean, he had like 4 of them against Chicago, 2 returns for touchdown. But, I mean, he had games where there were just a couple games that were just really bad. He had a bunch of interceptions in those games, but he threw for over 5,000 yards. They had no run game. Both their 1 and 2 running backs were gone for the season. And dude still was, played well enough to lead their team to as well because they had to win games down the stretch. I just think you definitely send Matthew Stafford over. Matthew Stafford has been my pick to go. Eli had a chance. Yeah.
And like I said, I would have been okay with Matthew Stafford because he did have a very impressive year. And what I think is impressive about his year is who is he? I mean, he is not someone at this point that we would say, if you're going to say who's going to throw for 5,000 yards, he's not going to be one you're going to put on that list at all.
I wouldn't even pick him to do it again next year.
Yeah, he wouldn't. Right. No, I mean, he's not a person that I would say, that should have numbers like that. We expect him to be a solid quarterback, but not to put up gaudy numbers like he put up. I'm looking at his numbers now, 5,038 yards. I mean, he was a deep touchdown away from breaking Marino's record himself. And Matthew Stafford on no given day, not Dan. So I will give him credit for that. But I'm still going to say, and I will, My man Romo, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 66%, completion percentage, 102.5 passer rating, only behind Brees and Rodgers, a full 5 points ahead of Stafford, a full 10 points ahead of Eli Manning and no love. I mean, I don't get it. But I would have been okay with Stafford. I do want to make that clear. I think he had a great year, and I would have been okay if he had gotten in. I mean, Cam Newton, you know, he had a great year as a rookie. And then that is the caveat. He had a great year as a rookie. But the Pro Bowl is about players. They're all judged the same way. And I don't know. But, hey, it is what it is.
Well,
we're
pretty much, yeah, I think you want to do an hour and a half today, right? So
Yeah. We should wrap up. Yeah.
Yeah, we're at dinner. Well, I do agree with K-Star on one thing. I still think Cam Newton's stats are deserving of him going, but just over those, you know, over those two, I mean, I think you got to consider Stafford, you know, over him for that. But I will agree that his stats were, and they were deserving of him going. If you know, he did have a pretty good season as you know, and they look at it as a rookie quarterback. Even though you say judge them all on the same level, they do look at it and be like, oh wow, rookie quarterback.
Well, not for the Pro Bowl.
Andy Dalton made it on the AFC. So, I mean, obviously, I think that comes into play a little bit.
Well, Andy Dalton took his team to the playoffs, too. And, I mean, that's a different – I mean, you know, again, for the Pro Bowl, no, not about being a rookie. It's about you're playing NFL quarterback. You don't get bonus points because you did it as a rookie. It's the Pro Bowl. It's the top players, you know. And the fact that you're a rookie has got no bearing. You're expected to perform. And, you know, I'm looking at Cam's numbers, man. 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. I don't know where
whoa,
you got.
We can't just not include his rushing numbers. We can't do that. We can't.
No, I say not to include. How many touchdowns? I know he ran for a lot of touchdowns. How many did he rush for?
15.
Okay. All right.
That's a lot.
I know he rushed for a lot of touchdowns. I know. I'm not taking that away from him. I would have been okay with Matt Stafford. I mean, heck, even Matt Ryan could make a case for getting in ahead of these guys, you know. But Atlanta went to the playoffs, right?
That's true.
His numbers,
you know,
Matt Ryan, 29 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I mean, even Matt Ryan should be in this conversation.
Yeah. Cam Newton's an entertainer. He said he wanted to be there when he came in, so.
Man.
That's what they look at.
So, all right, so I think we're at the end of the agenda. So let me say again, extra special thank you to Dr. Train for manning the switchboard, manning the agenda, and hosting the show tonight. It allowed me to actually work and make sure that I keep my job secure so I can pay my bills. So I appreciate that, Train. And K-Star, again, for coming on and giving us insight. For all the people out there listening, we appreciate it. Saint, for calling in. Jedi Capricorn, showing us love in the chat room, even though your Giants, well, I've saved my prediction, but woo! next week's show, January 31st, next Tuesday night, we're on at 9 o'clock. It will not be 8 o'clock. It'll be 9 o'clock, and we'll be on for 1 hour, full coverage, and we will also make our picks, who will win Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis. Will it be the Patriots? Will it be Brady going for number 4? Or will it be Eli Manning going for a second win? We'll have all the insight. We'll have our predictions. Look for a great show next week. And then we'll do a follow-up show the following week, post-Super Bowl show. And then we'll go into our off-season schedule. So we won't go into every week's show. We'll kind of break it up. But we'll tell you more about that over the next couple of weeks. So for K-Star, for Train, for everyone out there showing us love, appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Madden Voice. Catch the Pro Bowl out on Sunday because Romo won't be there, but Cam Newton will. So check out the Pro Bowl on Sunday. And remember, the Madden Voice, listen to us because, as will happen on the Super Bowl, all feuds are settled on the field. Take care.